Welcome everyone to the first podcast with Nick and Sean, or Sean and Nick. We haven't named it yet, have we?
So, no, we haven't. this is Sean. This is Nick. For, you know, I think we should be firstly focusing on who this is for. Who's going to watch
this? Who is this for?
My mum is going to watch this. Your mum going to watch this?
She doesn't know how to use a computer.
So okay, so we'll help her out. So this is just for our mums today, basically.
I'll chuck it on her iPhone.
But I think, that is the hardest thing I ever have to deal with is how to name something. I don't know how you go, mate, but I have no idea. I've been trying to think this week about what we should call this podcast, and I have no idea.
Yeah, I haven't been thinking at all. It's one of those things I think I feel it'll come organically.
Yeah.
I try not to think too much about things in life. Things just show up and be like, oh, okay. So I feel as we do more of these, I feel come up with a name, hopefully. But I like something with like Sean and Nick, or Nick and Sean, or I don't know. I feel we're both very interested in, you know, like filmmaking, entrepreneurship, marketing, memes, you know, be something like related.
A lot of randomness, I think, filters in there. So I agree. I think for our mums watching, and maybe if we're lucky, anyone else. I guess this podcast, like we don't have a specific objective. We want this to be a fluid like discussion. Yeah. Sean and I end up working on a lot of video jobs together. Over not 2 years, like last year.
At least a year, I think. We met at a wedding, actually.
That's right.
I was videoing it, and you were.
That's right.
Photographing it with your lovely partner in crime, Kylie, who is...
Shout out, Kylie. She's listening just there. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, guys, like, mad congratulations to Nick. He's a new father.
Thank you.
So I apologize if you hear a crying baby or an angry photographer upstairs. Yeah,
that's just us not knowing how to parent.
Yeah.
So, just working that stuff out. Mate, it's
But
it's
congratulations
been
anyway. Thank you. I don't think I've probably, like... properly like congratulating
you,
man.
I did think that was a bit rude.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
you passed a milestone in life.
It is insane. If I'm honest, it is a bit crazy, but it is a massive milestone. Yeah. I don't know, I just don't think we've grown up enough.
How do you
enough.
Feel like, honestly, is it real yet?
Honestly, I feel the same.
Yeah,
just more tired,
just with a little bit more responsibility.
So he's an awesome little dude, and of course I, you know, worship the ground he lays on. He's just a 6-7 week old baby. He's not doing anything yet.
Yeah.
But honestly, like you see all these like movies or posts on social media with like everyone saying it's this kind of life changing thing. And it is life changing, but I think it's different. I think it's life changing the fact that you have so little time now compared to before. I thought I didn't have much time, free time and like much time to do my own stuff and films and stuff before, but now I'm like, okay, I was an idiot. I was a lazy bum.
Yeah, I think...
So that's like the biggest thing. Because the parenting stuff, like, I don't know, as long as you can keep them fed, clean, and help them sleep.
That's all you need to do, right?
That's it for now. I'm sure it'll get a lot harder.
I think from what I've heard from, I can't remember what podcast I was listening to, but there was a comedian who was saying... Like the first year, it's great having a baby and stuff, but you only realize they're a human until they can start to like walk and like say some words and stuff. Like, oh, this is a human being. This isn't just like, I don't know.
Actually, that's
a thing.
That's
right?
A good point, because he's now starting to kind of recognize people a little bit.
Yeah.
So every morning we might
like synapses are forming,
smiles, and then you're like, wow, that's. That actually is pretty cool. So you can sit and just stare at him all day. I must admit, he's a pretty cute little guy. And it is amazing. But yeah, I don't feel that different, if that makes sense. I feel the same. I just now have
I just want to thank you for not bombarding Facebook with baby photos.
I don't like that.
I appreciate that.
What I want to do is do it all at once. Mm. So when he's 18, if Facebook version 2... Whatever the next Facebook will be.
It'll bounce back to MySpace.
There'll be about 10 terabytes of pictures and video all at once.
They'll upload in like half a millisecond.
Yeah, it'll be like then. A stream of consciousness. I'll go, when it's time, Spencer.
Yeah, when Australia finally figures out NBN and we have fast internet.
Yeah, one
maybe,
day.
Maybe not.
One day.
We'll see.
Yeah, he's hoping. If not, just move to Korea.
Rest in peace. NBN.
NBN gods, we salute you.
Yeah, it's sad. Wait, do you know we're like behind 138 or so countries? I can't remember the number anymore, but it's just super depressing. If you
but search that can I ask, do you really notice?
Yes.
So where you live, do you have NBN?
No. I run on ADSL 2 right now, and I'm right next to the city in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Can't even get cable.
Wow.
To my premise, like, super annoying. So when you're up,
they obviously think your street is just not worth saving.
No.
Not worth developing.
Apparently, like, someone 3 hours out in the country deserves NBN or fiber internet, but nah, not 30-minute walk to the city.
Well, they're probably farmers contributing to this boom economy. Sure.
Yes.
What do you do?
Well,
what are you doing for the economy?
Tens and hundreds of gigabytes of data a day.
So you're why everyone's internet is slow then?
Yeah.
You're clogging it up.
Pretty much. I'm the problem.
But I have NBN. I'm lucky enough to have NBN.
Yeah, I thought your internet was new sub up super here. Quick.
But I didn't, like, if I'm honest, I didn't realize how much of a difference it would be. Because I've always been like, I'll try and be okay with everything. You know, I try not to get too fussed about anything or like become a keyboard warrior about internet speeds.
Yeah.
Because actually, it's internet. Like, it's pretty cool technology. It's amazing that we have access to it. But I've got to admit, that first switch when they went from, okay, your ADSL's finished now to NBN, I was like, yeah.
I just want to test something. See how fast your internet... Oh, it just plays right away.
Boom.
So...
Boom. You want Ethan, H3 Productions.
I literally just clicked on that, started playing. I'd have to wait like 10 seconds for that to load.
So welcome to Nick and Sean's Tech Podcast.
I think we've
defined what our...
Yeah.
Will be.
Well, I think we've spoken for enough without properly saying what we do. So, I guess, what do you do, Nick? What's your background and why do you do it?
You know what? I find this one of the hardest questions to answer, if I'm honest, because I'm trying to, like, everyone seems to have, I don't know about you, mate, but when you meet clients or business coaches and so I make videos is what I do.
Yeah,
I make videos, but. My little kind of pitch changes so often, and more often than not, it's like this massive long thing.
Yeah,
and all these people I meet and all these clients just seem to have like their shit sorted. So they have like this perfect little buzzword. I'm like, damn it. So how long you got? Because I need to explain what I do in 5 minutes instead of like a sentence. But I guess at the crux of it, I make videos for like the majority of my work is working with like small businesses, owner operators, and maybe like small to medium enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
And so we make video content, or I make video content that's generally for social media and the web. Like I'm pitching right now actually to do like some cinema advertising and kind of get my fingers in a few other types of content production. But the majority of what I do is probably two things: helping people tell their story, like almost like a micro documentary, I guess. So it's very cinematic, and it's not stupid. It's not like, you know, because I think a lot of people, you know, they set up to make these videos, and it's like if someone doesn't go with them, then the world's gonna end. Whereas going to an accountant to do your taxes, it's not that world changing, if I'm honest.
No.
So what I like to do is like just kind of humanize and like make these quirky little videos about the people behind the business. And then the other thing I do is get them to spew out their value and expertise and knowledge and try and educate a little bit to help them grow their audiences. So it's, you can see that's my long,
yeah, for sure. I know.
So I don't have a,
that's not long-winded
sentence
at all. That was under 5 minutes.
Okay, that's good. I'm getting better then. That's good.
I know my one's going to be a bit more long-winded. I feel like video has just encroached over my life and is like all I live and breathe now, which is great. It's what I love. But ever since I was 13, I wanted to make images and had my like parents' like camera, like filming little dumb videos with my mate.
Oh, man. See, you have a good story. Yeah. So you go on, mate.
This is my origin story. So 13 years old, parents had like a little VCR cam, and I actually made like Russell Coyd Adventures, like spin-offs with my mate Tim.
Nice.
But yeah, that sort of evolved. Went to uni, studied, didn't actually get into a film course. You needed an OP5 at the time. So I did a Bachelor of Communications and majored in screen.
Yeah.
But that communications was great because I did a little bit of marketing. And now, like, being a videographer, you need to be your own marketer. Like, you need to be a writer, director, producer. Yeah. And it was awesome. Like, I'm so glad I didn't get that OP5, that I was able to do more. And
so you found that a lot more practical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much more practical because obviously now online you teach yourself
a
ton of stuff for free. So I'm not totally self-taught, but partially. And, you know, as the years went on, I left uni, got a job at a production company shooting just small little online advertising videos. And I had that for 2.5 years, which really, you know, put me through the trenches and like sort of stuck my teeth into video production. And yeah, I think a little bit over a year now, I left there and now fully on my own, producing like wedding videos, corporate videos, events, much what you do, like just sort of marketing videos like that. So yeah, I love it, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, wouldn't do anything else. I can't like picture myself in any other career than what I'm doing now. So hopefully that means I'm on the right path.
Do you get like a real buzz when you see you've made some like video content for a client and it works? Like
do you get immediate feedback
from their own clients?
I love just getting that feedback, like them telling me like, oh, thank you so much. Like you put our vision into our idea into like into a vision into this video and it's done this and people are loving it. Like I don't know, it makes me warm inside. I'm just like, oh, I've created something from nothing.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty cool. So your story's cool. Like I don't feel like my story is, my genesis is good. Like I actually made a video about it a couple of weeks ago. I think you might have seen it on Facebook.
Yeah, I think so.
If you say you think so, you didn't. Because I think it's the most unique piece of content I've ever made.
Sorry.
But
I'll definitely watch it after this.
I appreciate that. Well, I'm gonna dictate it now. So no need.
All right.
No need.
Great.
It's boring anyway. But yeah, so I didn't even pick up a camera until, you know, a couple of years that I'd been in Australia. So I've been here for like over a decade, like 11 years, I think, this year, maybe 12.
Oh, so that's what that funny accent is.
Yeah, I don't know if I still have an accent. I try and keep it.
No, it's
but still I'm definitely an Aussie when I ring home, ring the UK.
Yeah.
So I studied engineering at university.
Right.
Was going to join the military. My dad was in the military. I was going to follow that career path. Didn't really, you grow up on Air Force bases. You don't really know any different.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, normal family, but I never, it sounds so silly to say now, but I never really considered a creative career path when I was starting to think about uni, when I was at uni and all my friends were doing, you know, liberal arts degrees or philosophy and never having to go to lectures. And I was like, I've got like 50 hours of lectures a week. What is going on here?
Yeah.
Why are you enjoying your degree? And I'm not. And I just never gelled with what I did. So, but what I started to do is I just got lost in when I was kind of not enjoying myself at uni. Mm. I just got lost in films, and I've always like been into movies and films, but never even considered it as a possibility to create any kind of vision until I came to Australia. I dabbled a little bit in at uni. I had like this big dream to be like Ricky Gervais, who's a British comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he kind of made it when he was in his 40s, and I was old when I thought about it. I was like, oh, I'm 23,
super
I'm
old,
past my prime, so I need to, you know, be Ricky Gervais, and so I came out to Australia, flunked my last year of uni, and I was like having a bit of a crisis thing, like, what the hell am I doing? What do I do? I did a TAFE course in video production, and it was, I think back then, so it would have been like 2008, maybe?
Oh, I was in grade 11 then.
Damn you. 2008.
Shows my age. Maybe 2000. Shows your age.
I think around then.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show, like, the government didn't even know what to call it. It wasn't film, because that was a unique career path.
Something in between, right?
It wasn't multimedia. So the course was called Screen. I have a certificate for in Screen.
Yeah, well, one of my majors was Screen Production.
Right.
What does that mean? It's just something for a screen.
But it was great, right? Because I was at this TAFE course, and I don't know if you've done a TAFE course before.
No.
It's full of weird and wonderful people. Yeah. You know, people in their 60s who want just a new skill set.
Yeah.
Students who have left school. Like, you've got this like real mismatch of people of all different ages, all different experience. And it's really cool. So like everyone there, you know, big like class of 30, they all had done something else, but just wanted to do something film related.
Yeah.
They didn't want to go to uni. I didn't want to go back to uni. So I did this TAFE course. And that's what gave me the bug. I was like, I love picking up a camera, shooting something, editing that together, and I say making sense lightly, because if I look back now, I'm sure it wouldn't.
You look at the videos on my YouTube channel from a few years ago. They just did not make sense.
Do you have them public out there?
Some of them are. I'll have a look.
I'm scared.
I'll see what's public. I know I shut everything down once I sort of started promoting my name more.
Yeah.
And I was like scared people were just going to like find my old stupid videos. And I think only the good ones are public now. It's not too bad.
Oh, mate, you got a few on there.
But I got to show you some of these later. All right. Anyway. Subscribe to me on YouTube, guys.
Sean Smith.
You'll probably have to scroll through 20 other Sean Smiths, but... That's the challenge there, if you can find me.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out. So I started making these short films, and then that was the dream. I was like, I'm going to be the next Steven Spielberg. Unfortunately, no.
It
doesn't work like that.
Oh,
but
damn.
I started just making these stupid little shorts. And no, the thing I got into like covering all aspects of production is that during the TAFE course, I remember like no one would put their hand up to direct. And like
really?
in productions... What? Everyone has a set role. Like, so you have a writer, you have a director, a producer, you have a production designer, obviously sound recorder, sound designer, etc. So everyone had their roles. But no one was interested in directing. And at that time, I was just interested in writing. I wanted to just throw all these scripts out in the hope that one of them would like get noticed by someone and be made and be a good thing.
That's really weird, because in film school, everyone wanted to direct is like the one thing you want to
do. Absolutely. I couldn't work it out. So like we're doing these end of year assignments or something. And I'm like, okay, so we've got the writer, we've got these people. Who wants to direct? And no one was like, I will.
Hell yeah.
I wrote this thing. I'll direct it. Can't be that hard.
Yeah.
It was hard. And like for many years, I made some very rubbish content. But that's what really like the directing path really kind of opened my eyes to go like, I need to understand all aspects of.
I gotta ask you something. How's your experience directing that, like among your peers? Because I have an experience too. I want to bounce off you.
So what do you mean by that?
So I directed a short film that I wrote in like as my sort of major thing in uni, right?
Yeah.
I was also a cinematographer for another one, but directing that, it was like a good learning experience, a lot of fun, but it's a pain in the neck.
Yeah.
For a lot of other reasons. Some other class members just not putting in the effort, just like it's super hard just organizing 10 other people, you know, like be here at this time, like this is your responsibility. Like it's a lot of work.
It is like, and there's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
There's this photo that I always go back to, and every now and then I'll like reshare on social media. But one of the a short I shot, I think about 3 years ago now. It was, in fact, before I go into that, okay. So I just want to kind of come back to this podcast name idea,
sure,
because I'm so bad at titles. So this then feeds into like I really enjoyed writing little short films, really enjoyed making them, but the titles for them are just the weirdest things ever.
Yeah.
So I wanted to give you a couple of these short film titles.
Hidden.
And I want to see if you could guess what's involved in the short.
All right. Hit me up.
Okay. So one was called Journey from Madness.
Journey from Madness.
Yeah.
From Madness. Is it some guy getting over some crazy thing that happened to him?
Kind of. Maybe I'm not so bad at the names. Yeah. Yeah, kind of. That was about someone on a train listening to this audio recording from a psychiatrist who was socially awkward.
Yeah.
So he wasn't mad by any means.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a train, so it was a journey.
Okay.
You see? What about The Cure?
The Cure. It's curing a mass plague, post-apocalyptic story about something.
Damn it, that's like very close. I thought I was really bad at this.
I just think of the most.
So
like,
I'm coming up with the name of this podcast, Sean.
I just think of the most cliched thing that I come up with.
Yeah, cliche is basically my short film.
Actually, okay, I'm on my YouTube channel now. Okay. Okay, this is one short film I made 3 years ago. It's Lemons, comma, not even once.
Lemons, not even once.
What's this about?
Okay, I think this is a coming of age story between a boy and girl and their first love. Not and they sell lemonade.
Not even close.
Damn it.
Okay, so there was a point in my life where I just really wanted to make short films.
Yep.
And I'll just write anything that comes to mind. Had a ton of actor mates. Lemons, not even once. Okay, there's a guy sitting at a desk in the middle of a field. He's cutting up lemons. No, he's squeezing lemons into lemon juice. Anyway, it's a skip between two people. Guy walks up to him. He's like, what are you doing? And then they argue about stuff. Like, it's the dumbest thing. And if you watch it, like, we'll put a link. I'll put a link. Just watch it. Don't judge me. I was in a desperate time just to make things, but not even close.
So that's it. Just in a field, cutting up lemons.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll play a little bit for you right now. I do apologize in advance.
Love the opening shot already.
Stupid lemon!
Classic.
You're all right, man. Do I look all right? You try extracting juice from these stupid lemons. Here.
I think I might just leave that one to you, mate.
Yeah, that's right. Just walk away.
I'm just gonna pause it there. But
okay.
Please have a watch through of that. Don't judge me, but
but I feel that title is accurate.
Yeah, yeah.
As portrayed in the narrative, like I think you guessed quite well actually. So The Cure. Let's talk. Yeah, so my point about
get back to your point. Sorry for hijacking that.
No. I feel better for having watched that. Thank you.
Great.
So, all right. I made this short called The Cure, and it was a zombie post-apocalyptic thing.
Wow, I'd nailed that.
Pretty much, you just left out the zombies.
Okay.
Because at that stage, Walking Dead was at its height, a few seasons ago. And I was like, I try and make something, like my natural go-to, I get a bit obsessed with trying to make someone laugh. It just like once, if I can get a smile or a smirk, it's like ecstasy, man. Like
I love people watching my stuff. I get so much joy when...
And so I was like, okay, what's a funny spin on the zombie apocalypse? And I was working for a social media consultancy at the time, and we were all kind of messing about saying, oh, if in the zombie apocalypse, what weapons would you choose?
Yeah.
And everyone's getting really serious, and I just wanted to get a bit sarcastic. So I said, oh, well, I'd get motorcycle helmets and put them on the zombies so they can't bite you. Boom, you've just solved the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
easy. And I was like, why can't I make that into a short film?
Yeah.
And so I had this the blast writing a script, was really happy with it, put a really good casting crew together, the biggest production I've ever done.
Right.
Had some incredible makeup artists do the prosthetics and zombie, like infected makeup. They were fast zombies, zombies. And there's this picture that I go back to every like few months that I just see in my feed. And it's a picture of me standing in front of a monitor directing. And I look miserable.
Yeah.
I look so stressed.
Oh, it's not glamorous at all.
No. And all the casting crew are making their little friendships and having such a blast. Yeah. And I certainly get envious of that when I direct things because you get just so focused on like that vision and that little dramatic beat or that little comedic moment. And
filmmaking is stressful.
Yeah. So you end it and you're like, oh, I'm depressed. This is horrible.
If it wasn't for people watching it at the end of the line, you've made it, people love it. Like, it wouldn't be worth it. Like,
it's weird because, mate, like, I actually don't think that. I still somehow get this weird buzz from that depression. like I come back off a shoot and go, that was horrible.
Oh, yeah, every time.
Like, not overall, but, like you sometimes you're just like, what a stupid decision I've made. Or, like, you start going through the rushes and you start going through, like, the raw footage and going, like, that's not going to cut together, or oh no, there's a continuity error, and then so you start like going down this rabbit hole of things that are wrong with it. But then, like, after a couple of days, I think back to it and I think, oh, that was actually really cool. So I do actually kind of remember that there are some positive moments there, but like during it,
I think that there's not a time after shooting now that I'm ever happy. There's like always something that goes wrong. I think when I have been like totally content, like, oh, that was great, the outcome hasn't been good at all. Like, I think if you're a filmmaker and like you're not just constantly chasing something better, you're constantly unhappy.
Yeah,
it means you're doing something right because you like strive for something better.
And man, that is true. Like, that is really true.
Like, at the end of shooting wedding, like almost every wedding, I'm like, oh my god, like, what did I do? I like wasn't high energy that day. Like, my shooting was terrible. Like, absolute crap. Like. And then you start editing the video and like, oh, that's like the best video I've ever done. Like, how did that happen? I don't know. I don't know if that's just managing expectations, but I found there's a few times where I've been super content and happy with what I've shot and the outcome's been just crap.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know what it is.
Do you reckon it's more trying to focus on the actual act, the capturing? It doesn't matter whether it's a corporate thing, a wedding thing, a narrative, film, music video. It's just trying to actually be in that moment.
Yeah.
Because I find it hard to do that. I'm like you, I get very analytical and like that definitely affects.
Because I think if you're shooting and constantly unhappy, you always want to like do something better. You're always looking for new different ways to prove yourself that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're content, like, oh, I've done this a million times, going to do this shot. Like, it's just going to be boring. You're not going to push the boundaries.
Yeah, that's true.
So you always got to be got to be a little bit of fear.
You've always got to be constantly unhappy.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not unhappy,
that's
you're
the
shooting.
Key to filmmaking.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're not miserable, you're not doing it right.
Yeah. That's tip number one for Facebook.
Yep.
That's our little edit. Welcome to our happy podcast.
Yeah.
But that's it. It is fun. Like I'm the same. Oh, yeah. Any kind of content creation, any visual. Mm. It is fun. Like, I think once you've done that a few times, so that was like my experience from The Cure a few years ago now. But now, man, I'm addicted to it as well. I think it's good fun just creating visuals.
Yeah, I can't. I get a bit itchy when I don't like film something like more than a week.
Yeah.
I mean, I just went on a 6-week Europe travel and I like filmed every day.
Gonna That's make awesome.
Going to put together a full travel video. It's going to be great.
So are you one of these filmmakers who, when you go and travel, you take all these incredible cinematic shots and things,
not
and
at all.
Like get 100,000 Instagram followers?
No,
good, because I'm not. I forget
my cinematography over in Europe was shit. It was so bad. But I just really focused. Like I'm more focused on the content and story rather than a pretty picture. Like I can take pretty pictures and I love it, but if it means like completely occupying my trip, like,
yeah,
hell no, that's
yeah,
Like, I want to have a good experience. Yeah, film it, but it's not going to be the best I've got. Obviously, if someone's paying me a lot of money, they're going to get the best I've got. But when I've got a little camera with a little shotgun mic on it, yeah, I'm going to, like... It was basically, like, just vlog-type content, right?
Yeah.
It just showed what I'm after, what I was up to.
That's cool, man. Well, your Vietnam one was great.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it now. It's got 22,000 views now.
Wow.
Those who subscribe, check it out. If you've got a spare 51 minutes, you know.
Mate, that's awesome.
I'm actually super proud of that. I didn't think it would reach that. I think it's just people searching for Vietnam travel.
This is why I asked that question. Because, yeah, like, travel, I think, is one of the best and easiest ways to, like, build your following.
Yeah.
I live vicariously through so many cinematographers, like people who are very visual photographers, who go to these epic locations and epic spots, make you super jealous. And you just look at their feeds, and you're like, no wonder they have so many followers, or their posts get so much interaction. Yeah. People love it.
But yeah, I feel there's it's much like the Instagram model showing tits and ass. Like, I feel there's a ton of that, pretty pictures at some faraway location. Like,
it's travel porn. That.
Travel porn. Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's why I always go back to the content and entertainment. Like, something different to offer from, like, yeah, what's... You can watch any travel video that's full of pretty pictures, but what's going to differentiate that from me, right? Like, I'm different, right? And it's showing you that from my perspective. But I feel it's just like... You know, it's just like people vlogging and stuff. Like,
yeah,
people can do the most mundane thing, but and they're like really charismatic and interesting, and they'll get 15 million subscribers, like Logan Paul, right? it's interesting.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is interesting seeing how like that style of movie making is evolving with younger and younger people pick up cameras and start creating content.
Mm.
Really interesting.
It's crazy, like, how much kids, like, value YouTubers now.
Yeah.
I was in Germany, in Cologne, and just actually going ice skating just in December. And I was filming myself for my travel video, right? I had my GoPro in my hand, going for a nice ice skate through the Christmas markets. It was a great time. But some kid comes up to me, like, hey, are you a YouTuber? I'm like,
oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, I guess I make YouTube videos. He's like, oh, cool. Stop to take a rest for 10 seconds and get bombarded by like no less than 10 kids.
Wow.
They're like, oh, can we have your picture? Like, what's your YouTube channel? I'm like, geez, man.
I'm
like,
one of the Sean Smiths. If you do a quick YouTube, I'm on there.
Oh, no,
that's insane.
It was insane.
Actually, I mean, that does actually remind me.
It's crazy. I couldn't believe what was happening.
What kind of age were those kids?
They're 10 years old.
Yeah. So I was so my YouTube channel for filmmaking is called I Be a Film Dude.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, that was like my only focus, really, even before I started my business up. And I started wanting to get more content on there. So I was like, I'll vlog like everyone does and started doing that. And I was putting this Halloween shoot together, and I went into one of these dollar store things looking for masks and stuff, and had a camera. I wasn't even filming, but had a camera with a little shotty on top, a shotgun mic, and these two girls come barreling for me, and they would have been 7 or 8. They were so young, and then you're a guy with a camera.
Does it make you feel
in the corner
awkward?
Of a dollar store, I know, going like, oh, the fluorescent light's gonna burst here. That wasn't me, and I'm not filming. Where's your mum?
I know.
Really bizarre.
I was so awkward, like, just being bombarded with all these kids. Like, oh, that's great kids. So, like, you don't have to take photos of me. It's fine.
So, like, I feel especially, like, the YouTubers who like, that demographic is prime. Because you and I, we're no spring chickens.
No.
You know? But, like, people like Logan Paul and Jake Paul and all these younger YouTubers, like in their early 20s or late teens, it's just insane.
They're just killing it. It's a new frontier.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, everyone does make fun of a lot of these younger YouTubers for their stupidity, because a lot of them do very stupid things.
Oh yeah, well, they do that for a reason, right?
Exactly,
they get the views.
Exactly,
so.
Right. But like they are racking up far more views than any traditional broadcast media can do. They can't keep up.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really interesting. So I think it is really important, like. Not even like for us as video guys, but anyone really, I think, should be playing in this kind of arena.
Yeah, well, I think we were talking about on Friday, like this is like the gold rush of the internet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's so many more eyeballs being woken up to this, the media on the internet. Like people are cancelling cable, people aren't watching TV anymore. YouTube is the new television.
Yeah. How much YouTube do you watch a day?
Hours.
Yeah, me too.
2 hours minimum, I think.
I my default is going to, when I'm feeding, you know, the little one, it's like it's going to YouTube.
Yeah.
And not turning on the TV.
Exactly.
And like, mate, I mean, I'm 33. How old are you?
26.
Like, so we're not like 19.
No.
I find that really interesting, and I don't know. I just feel like.
Well, mate, I haven't had an antenna in my house for years. Like, yeah. I can't even tune into traditional television at my house.
But are there Australians making a lot of content on YouTube? There are some really good Australian YouTubers.
There are, but I don't really follow many.
Yeah.
At all. I can't really name any massive ones on the top of my head.
Nat Tran.
Community channel.
Yeah.
Is she still making videos?
Very slowly.
I know there's that Maichoni guy.
Yeah.
Some camera guy called Blunty who lives in Sydney who made camera videos. But yeah, I can't really think of many other Aussies.
And that's crazy because
it's sad, right?
Because it gives you access to like people all over the
We've
world.
Got the entire world as our audience, and I suppose like in the States, like it's still that whole Hollywood thing, like collabing with other channels with similar subscribers, you know, that everyone's so tight in together, they're able to promote each other.
Yeah.
Whereas Australia, we're still so spread out.
Yeah.
We're like this country the size of the landmass of the States.
Yeah, that's true.
We're spread out with like a death desert in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's hard to support each other, you think, to
grow. I was talking about this earlier with my housemates, actually. I was trying to watch this Australian-produced Netflix show, right? I tried to watch it for like half an hour. It was just so bad. Like the acting was terrible. Pacing was shot. Writing was shot. I was just like, come on, Australia. Like, is this what you have to offer? Like, so please. Like,
I have a bit of a confession to make. Do you, like... So you have a few people, like, you're connected with on Facebook or into filmmaking and things like that.
Yeah, heaps.
So I also have that, and I do see a lot of, you know, little indie productions out and about there.
Yeah.
And understandably, everyone wants to kind of grow an audience and like support, like the phrase I always see is support Aussie film.
I know.
Support Aussie film. Hard. And I really want to.
It's hard sometimes.
I really want to, but sometimes I'll see a little trailer posted and I just don't like it.
Is this like university film type things or just...
No, this is post uni. So this is people wanting to, and like that really sounds like I can do better than that. Not at all, because filmmaking, like we've already said, it's like the hardest thing ever.
I wouldn't even call myself a filmmaker.
Yeah,
I say video producer.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me too. Until I'm like paid to make a film, I'm never going to be an actual filmmaker.
I feel it's too cringeworthy. Like,
yeah.
I never say, yeah, I'm a filmmaker. Like,
so it's easy to like sit in an ivory tower and say, that's rubbish. But I just genuinely feel like there's simply because there's probably not that much support from the development side of things for people wanting to make web series, like trying to get on something like Netflix or...
We just don't have the experience.
Yeah, or Stan or something like that. And it's just... can't compete with some of the quality of writing and production. I'm not talking even about the scale of productions, obviously, in the US, but the actual quality of the quality writing that you can get over there.
Yeah.
I sometimes I feel really bad because I'm like, I would love to support you. It's just that it's not great.
You're not making it easy.
And I feel terrible thinking that, but there's just some bad stuff
out there. I know like Screen Australia and like here, like Screen Queensland, they're trying to like make things better, but...
And I think Screen Queensland is... I think, again, can't speak from experience, but like I think it's really good because they now want to start going down these new formats and new media. They've now launched you know, a yearly grant scheme and funding scheme for Australians with X amount of subscribers.
Yeah.
You know, 10,000, 100,000. I think you can access different kind of
There's a guy, do you know the comedian Aaron Gox?
No.
He's he got famous by these like dumb videos on YouTube and Facebook called like just saying how like people got stitched up. It's like this guy's like quite a fat guy, like mullet, just like definition of a bogan, but he's the funniest. And like every now and then, like this like ABC produced or something from Screen Australia will pop up. Now he's become like so like well known in Australia. It's just the most ridiculous videos. Like, he did a parody of Around the Twist. And he's like sitting out on the pier. He's like, sister comes up to him. He's like, oh, they're gonna like sell the lighthouse. Like, what are we gonna do? He's like, oh, I don't care about that right now. Someone challenged me to a pissing contest. This is like the most like ridiculous humor. But yeah, no, I love how they are like supporting smaller.
Yeah, I think it's a really good thing. There's just not like that many filmmakers who are trying to develop their own thing. I guess like I don't want to. Yeah, I didn't want to really get stuck into like a theme for today's episode because I wanted to obviously just chat.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I think a lot of what we're talking about is the whole personal branding thing, right? Because I mean, you have a YouTube channel under your name.
You operate under your name. That's for me though. Like, so my YouTube channel, that's my outlet to create. That's nothing made for order, you know. I mean, like everything you see on there is just for me. Really, and if other people love it, if 22,000 people want to watch an hour-long Vietnam video, hell yeah. Like, I love it. That stuff gets me up in the morning. So.
Did you monetize that video?
No, hell no.
Could have got like $8-$9.
Not even. That's like $0.08-$0.09. As if.
I don't know, mate.
Let's have a look. I think I've got an app that actually tells me how much I would have made. So, Alex compares. Actually, does it? No.
You should, Social Blade has one, I think, actually, which is really good.
But no, I don't think, I've got 170 subscribers. I can't, it's not something I want to make money off yet. Like,
what do you think about growing, subscribers on YouTube versus growing likers on Facebook pages? How hard is each of them, do you think?
It's a very interesting question. I mean, Facebook's making it harder and harder for just pages to show up on people's feeds, which is sort of annoying. But then again, their video algorithm is really good and hits more eyeballs than YouTube could ever do. But that being said, the YouTube like search algorithm that sends people to this Vietnam video and like other videos is way better.
Mm. But I think it's actually harder. It's different. I think it can be easier to get views on YouTube, but harder to get subscribers. So so my zombie film, I think cracked 500,000 views last year.
Yeah.
Got, you know, 1,000 subscribers from it.
Really? Is that damn.
So obviously goes to show that the content might not be that good. But I find that really interesting, whereas I think because like Facebook, you know, when like someone likes it, you can then invite them to like your page and things like that. So I actually find it easier to get likes. So I was just interested to see, because I think you say you've only got 177 subscribers on YouTube. I think that's bloody brilliant, because getting a subscriber on YouTube, I think, is harder than ever before. Because there's so much range of content.
There's so much amazing content.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't, for you to get like shown up in the search results, I think is awesome. Like, because that's a hard thing to do with a small channel.
Yeah.
So that's really good, man.
Definitely. Yeah, it's, for people on YouTube, they follow the person behind it and keen to see more of what you've got.
Yeah, definitely.
Like short films on YouTube are different, because it's just like, it's a short film. It's a one-time thing. Like, yeah. Why do I need to follow this guy? Like, I don't, like, it's not like, I feel YouTube is a personal thing. You follow the person, not the content.
I agree. I 100% agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. But I treat, like, going back to your question, I treat my Facebook page and my YouTube channel two very different things.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, my Facebook page is still my name, but it's also my business. Like, that's a completely different brand to my YouTube channel. YouTube channel is, like, weird video travel guy, whereas my Facebook page is awesome wedding videographer and corporate video guy.
Yeah.
Like, completely different. Yeah. And I try not to cross-pollinate too much because people get confused.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I'd be very embarrassed if some of my clients, like, found my YouTube channel, which they probably will. Some probably have, but
especially because it's going to be the thumbnail of this video.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
I'm going to sponsor it on Facebook for you, mate.
That being said, having my name as my business name has been great. Like, it's, I don't know, I love it. Like, before I was against it, a bit awkward, you know, putting myself out there, but now that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't feel too weird about it anymore.
Sean and I, we saw, like, I'm a big believer as well.
Mm.
It's just taken this long for me to even think about starting it. But, you know, because I operate the corporate-y, client-y, content creation stuff all behind the banner of Picture House Collective, or I have done the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And people, like, people who know Picture House Collective, like the people who interact with it, they actually know it's me. Like,
yeah.
So they know who I am. But there's still, like, that extra barrier there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's only just been the start of the year where I've started doing it. But Sean and I, like, so a couple of days ago, we saw this lady talk about personal branding to a room full of corporate types that we were filming. And it really just hits home that, like, 2018, man, is, if it's not before, it's the year that you've got to get your personal branding sorted.
People still don't know. Like,
it does go back to what we were saying, like, as video producers. You do have to be across, like, how to, because like, whether you actually, like, freelance or you do have your own little production company, like, you've got to be everything. You've got to be the accountant more often than not, or at least the salesperson who's there, who might need to be the debt collector to chase people up for payments.
Yeah,
you might need to you definitely have to be the marketer. You have to understand how to reinforce when you're getting referrals, to reinforce that you're the person for the job with quality content and constant content. Like, there's so much you have to do, and I think that all then feeds into why not just be doing that but as your personal brand, because then you're doing this one and the same thing.
I'm pretty glad, like, because, like, yeah, your Picture House Collective, you could, that could end, but I don't know, I feel like having as your name, like, that's never going to change. It's something you could constantly build on.
Yeah.
And, like, now the landscape of the internet is becoming more normal and normal just to, like, be yourself on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, 5-10 years ago, like, even YouTube was like, oh, never, like, share your personal name on YouTube. Keep it secret. Have, like, an alias.
Actually, that's a good
one. And now YouTube are like, now Google tried to do their social media thing. Now everyone is their name on YouTube.
Yeah.
Completely, like, 180.
That's a great point. Like, all these classic YouTubers have these random channel names.
You know,
that only if you know who that person is and therefore what their channel is, will you know to search for them. Whereas now you've got Logan Paul.
Yeah, that's my name.
That's it. So that's a great point, man.
Yeah. Completely different landscape. Like, and constantly, I think, going back to the whole technology podcast thing, like, there's going to be no secrets in the future.
Yeah.
There's so much technology. It's going to read your mind. Like, all these scandals coming out in the past, end of 2017, is just crazy. Like, there's going to be no secrets. So, yeah, I'm going to be able to read your mind in 5 years.
And
isn't that scary?
You'll be able to, like, create... I reckon holograms, man, will be the next thing. Like, for video creators, holograms will be, like, the next thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So I think we're in a pretty lucky field, to be honest, at the minute, because, you know, live video...
Especially in a creative field that...
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to automate.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
And you need to stand out. Like, that's probably the most important thing is, like, I personally feel like, man, this is a real like rabbit warren today on what we're chatting about.
God damn rabbit.
But like, it's like, I really think like, sorry for the screaming baby if you can hear that.
That's but, fine. You've been warned.
We'll feed him a few hours. What was my point? I've lost it. What were we talking about?
Going down a rabbit hole, talking about technology and...
That's right. Yeah. So I think because like everyone has access to a smartphone, like no one uses it for video, if I'm honest. I say to so many people who I sit down and they pay me to essentially sit down with them and help them create content.
Mm.
Always happy to do that.
Yep.
But in the back of my mind, I know if they actually save that money for something that was just a little bit more creative and focused on maybe the story aspect of what they were doing, so that
mm-hmm.
and they focused on just pulling out their smartphone, plugging a little microphone, like a $50 mic into it,
yeah,
and just talking to that smartphone, so that they're getting this like inbound content
yep.
created on their in their own time, you know, taking half an hour, whatever, and creating this content. Like, eventually everyone will be doing that. Like, I feel like everyone will be doing that in a couple of years. So I think it's really important, like, to, I think we're lucky in that we have these skill sets, because we'll be able to create content that once everyone is like standing in front of a camera and talking,
yeah.
we actually still will be able to like stand out, because yep. we have that extra skill set to say, let's do it another way, or let's actually create a different format.
Yeah.
Let's try creating a little, I don't know, show, or, you know,
I think
we're quite lucky.
A lot of people are still pretty awkward to be in front of a camera and be themselves. I mean, filming real estate agents for 2.5 years, trying to get them in front of cameras, like just pulling teeth sometimes. It's just like, how are you in this profession? You can't talk about what you're selling. Like, it's anyway, like, I won't go too far into that, but I feel as years go by, people will become more normalized, just as with any technology. And I don't know, I'm sure when the telephone came out, people sort of weirded out by like talking into a device, right? like technology, it's slow to adopt, but once it's adopted, it's just second nature. Yeah. So
it's the norm, right?
It's the norm. Yeah. But yeah, man,
cool.
I think this has been a good chat. Covered a lot of bases here.
It has been.
Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Thanks, mum. It's
been fantastic.
Thanks, mum.
Yeah, thanks, mum.
I hope that was, I don't know, enjoyable, maybe? I don't know, interesting.
I enjoyed
chatting.
Good catch up, mate.
That was.
Yeah. I feel if you like film it and you record it, it's on paper or on video. I don't know. It's something happens when you hit record. I don't know what it is. It's like extra spark to the conversation, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're always mindful.
Yeah.
I was really worried at the start of going like, oh my God, I'm gonna be on camera, Nick. Because I think that's really weird that we do that. I don't know if you do that, mate. Like when you do your little...
I've been filming myself for 6 weeks in Europe, man.
Yeah.
I don't like...
But when you first started...
When I first started, it was...
Because it takes time to get past that. I feel hopefully 100%, I'm past that. But like, 100%. There's this little, like, almost like entertaining persona that you kind of jump into. And like suddenly like you're ending, hey, it's Nick. And
yeah, I know.
Like you turned it into this different person. So it takes a while. So like, I had it in the back of my mind going like, oh no, I hope I'm not that person.
There's a few times when I was filming my like Europe video, like I'm just like so tired, but I haven't filmed something for like 3 days. I just like, all right, just hype myself up. Like, hey guys, we're just in Copenhagen, like doing this, like it's the most disingenuous thing. I like hit like stop and just like, ah. Oh. Like, I'm disgusted in myself. What did I just do?
Was this right after you were swarmed by your YouTube fans?
No. This is at the end of the trip.
Like, fair enough.
5.5 weeks in, just super tired. But, you know, you sort of have to be in a different mindset. Like, you have to drink 3 cups of coffee.
Yeah.
Get into that.
That's true. Cool, man. Yeah. Well, yeah, good chat. Let's catch up next week.
Yeah.
See what we've been up to.
We'll see if we can come up with a name next week.
I think we worked it out. I think it's going to be Weird Lemons and...
Weird Lemons Cure Zombie Apocalypse with Helmets. Podcast. Thanks, guys.
Find us on iTunes.
follow me on YouTube. All right, cut.